Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 55 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. My name is Brian Sippets. Thanks so much for joining us. Today on the show, we've got Joe Sawicki, who's the Director of Sports Medicine for the Shattuck St. Mary's School in Faribault, Minnesota. Joe's going to be talking about his upcoming presentation for the NSCA's Training for Hockey Clinic that's going on in Colorado Springs in June. Joe's going to be talking about the ABCs of athletic development, and he's going to go over what he does with their U14 players and what he's doing there at the school, which is arguably one of the top hockey schools in the entire country. So we'd love to see what they're doing there, and I look forward to hearing more about the progressions he's using with his U14 players. Guys, if you haven't been to the site recently, check out HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. We've got some great new articles up. Daryl Nelson has a couple of articles on early sports specialization and also a video on his core variations. Devin McConnell also has a new video up, 90-90 hip-controlled articulations. So head there, check it out. If you're not a member of the site, you won't be able to see the information, but you can join us for just a buck for the first 7 days. After that, it's $14.95 a month, or you can join for the entire year and basically get 2 months free. The whole year is just $149, and that's billed just once. So check it out. We'd love to have you as a member on the site. Also, check us out on social media. Really active on Twitter. I'd say that's probably our most popular feed, but we're on Facebook as well. So check it out. We'd love to hear from you. And let's get into it here today with Joe Sawicki, Director of Sports Medicine at the Shattuck St. Mary's School in Faribault, Minnesota. All right. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us on the Hockey Strength Podcast. We are on the phone, actually through Skype, with Joe Sawicki, who's the Director of Sports Medicine at the Shattuck St. Mary's School, which is hard for me to say this as a rival boarding school guy. One of the premier, if not the premier, hockey schools in the country. Joe, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. This is a great thrill.
So, you know, we wanted to get in touch. We met out in Colorado Springs the past couple of years, and this year you're actually going to be presenting out there at the NSCA's Training for Ice Hockey Clinic. And this year you're presenting on the ABCs of athletic development, and I think this is a really cool topic. You know, you're talking about training the U14 athlete. You know, in terms of our audience, there's, you know, let's look at a pyramid, right? A lot of times we end up talking to the top of the pyramid, people who are training NHL collegiate athletes, where they may need to employ some special technology or some special tactics in the training. But you're talking to a much broader audience, and I think is very, very useful and very important. You're talking about training the U14 athletes. So talk to us a little bit about the ABCs and what your approach is there at Shattuck.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think that we spend a lot of time focusing on the upper-level kids and where, you know, where they're going and what they need to do. But I'm a big believer that, you know, you got to really spend your time with the younger kids, working with them, developing them, so that, you know, by the time that they get to be, you know, the 18, 20-year-olds, they've got it down and they know what they're supposed to be doing. So the presentation that I'm talking about is kind of what we do sort of, I would say, first semester with our U14 athletes in terms of developing, you know, just general overall athleticism and, you know, kind of getting everybody on the same page. You know, I don't know if I posted a picture on Twitter a few weeks ago of these two kids. Ironically enough, they were my son plays 12-year-old peewee hockey, and we were at a tournament up in Duluth, and we played this one team who had, you know, a couple of kids that they were well taller than I am. And, you know, and they're all 12 years old. And I think that a lot of people get misled in thinking that, you know, those are two kids that need two completely different training programs. But in reality, you know, I think that, you know, both of those kids probably need the same training program, maybe the bigger kid even more so than the smaller kid. because of the, you know, the way that they're growing, their maturation processes, and the fact that athletically they're probably in the same age group.
Yeah, in terms of training age and that kind of stuff. Yeah, I totally get that as the former big kid. Yeah, so, you know, and we're working on something like this, hopefully with USA Hockey, and that the importance of having that. Now this year with the American Development Model, their biggest push was for this year for youth coaches to do four things with every practice. Warm-up, on-ice, off-ice training, and cool-down. Right, yep. So what you're doing is totally in line with the American Development Model, with, you know, especially with that 12 to 13 to 14 year old age group, and I think USA Hockey knows that it's super important, and you're mimicking that, which is great. Now I think there can be a better implementation through USA Hockey instead of just saying, hey coach, just do something with them. Ultimately, something is probably better than nothing in a lot of cases, but tell us a little bit about what exactly you're doing and what you know, in terms of agility, balance, and coordination, what do those progressions look like from you? Where do you start?
Yeah, so basically, you know, I kind of took the program and looked at it in terms of achievable steps for the kids. So, you know, by the end of the first semester, you know, we want them to be able to know how to do skips and hops and bounds. Decent, you know, I know hockey players don't run very well to begin with, but, you know, we want to make sure that they have decent running mechanics. We want to make sure that they can control their body, that they have good core development, that they know how to do, you know, the really basic fundamental movements, you know, squats, hinge, presses, pulls, and in that respect, we don't look at a lot of, you know, well, how much weight are they lifting or how much are they doing here. It's more just in terms of, do they know how to, you know, from the eye test, do they know how to do these things? And so we spend a lot of time doing that. We have two mandatory workouts per week with our Bantam group. And, you know, while I'll let the other kids, the older kids, they'll have an optional couple of workouts that they can do on their own. I don't let the Bantam kids do that. They have to do, you know, they have to do their two workouts per week. And, you know, they have to do them with me so that I can be there, or, you know, with the coaches there to let them know, every rep that they're doing is within, you know, the limits that we're looking at. You know, that they're able to do these things. And the way that we break it down is that one day a week we do just strictly athletic development stuff. It's a lot of, like, you know, being able to what I like to call functional flexibility, in terms of being able to move in ranges of motion that, you know, might kind of be pressing them a little bit more. They've got to be able to hold isometric actions. They've got to be able to, you know, like I said, they've got to be able to move their body within a range that we're kind of setting, going, okay, yeah, that looks like what it's supposed to look like, and it's not, arms flailing and, you know, limbs flying all over the place. And as we progress from the first semester into the second semester, then we can start using that base that we've provided for them, and we can start loading up these exercises. We can start doing squats. We can start doing bench press. We can start doing, you know, heavier rows. We can start doing those things with the confidence that they will have achieved the base that they need to in order to move to the next level from there.
So talk a little bit, what are those functional, did you call it functional flexibility? What did you call that?
Yeah, functional flexibility. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, kind of working in, in longer lunges, in depth, squat depth, working on, one of the things that I love to do with this age group are isometric movements. So we'll have them do what we call push-up isos, where they get to be about half depth or even deeper, and they've got to hold it there for a certain amount of time. One of the things that's interesting about hockey is one of the few sports where the boundary is actually in play. You know, so it's not like, you know, the ball crosses the line, everybody stops and you got to reset. No, when the puck goes to the boards, it's still in play and you've got to be able to control yourself in that capacity as well. You know, for some of our guys, you know, now that USA Hockey doesn't allow checking until the bantam level, for some of our kids, that's their first, you know, kind of, you know, introduction to, you know, playing against the boards in a capacity where somebody's going to be hitting you. So, obviously we want to make sure that they know how to protect themselves as well. But, just working through that, those end range of motion to be able to develop that, you know, either isometric or eccentric strength going into those motions. Then that way they know how to be able to absorb forces. They know how to, you know, to work out of, you know, they can get deeper into their squats. We don't have to be kind of harping on them about, you know, no, that's not quite deep enough, or, you know, oh, we need to work on flexibility. I mean, that's all part of the program right from the start, so that, you know, once, like I said, once we get to that part where they are actually starting to load these exercises, they're prepared for it. There's no, you know, no, we need to go back and do some remedial work on this stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, the other opportunity you have with the isometric work is that, and this is something we found to be really useful, is that you have a chance to go around and coach it. You know, if you have a group of, you know, 15 to 20 kids, and you're holding some, like, let's say a basic goblet squat for 30 seconds, you can go around and make some adjustments and make sure kids are in the right spot instead of trying to catch them right in the right time. So that's good. We found that to be really useful too.
And the other thing that I really like about it too is that it's really super simple. You know, I mean, with, you know, and you know, I don't know how much work you've done with this age group, but, you know, one of the things that I find is that the more simple you can keep it, the more effective it'll end up looking at the end. You know, if you tell a kid, you know, hey, we're going to do a split stance iso hold. Okay, well, take a step out, bend your knee until it almost touches the ground, and then just hold it there. I mean, there's three steps there, so you really can't screw that up too badly. And then as they start to get more comfortable with that position, then we can start adding some complexity to it, some med ball twists or some chest passes or something like that.
Hmm. Cool. So let's say you have a super stud 14-year-old that comes in, like a Sidney Crosby type or an Eaves type or something like that, comes in and it's just a super stud right from the start. Do you take the same steps with that player, or are you, I mean, is that sort of like an understood thing that these are the steps you're going to go through when you come in?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, that will, and here's, you know, here's a good example of that. You know, I mean, we've got, you know, we've had a couple of, you know, of really high level playing athletes on the team, you know, but at the same time, like we talked about, you know, that big kid doesn't necessarily mean that he's that much better of an athlete, you know, when you start doing, okay, well, I want you to do skips. All right. So now what we're going to do is, we're going to transition from skips to running or skips to hops or something like that. It's, you know, they get all crossed up. They don't understand it. But you put them on the ice and they look like, you know, they don't even belong there. I mean, you know, just send them right to the, you know, right to the NHL now. They can handle that kind of activity. But when you get them off of the ice and you start doing that, you know, kind of body control, you start to find that, you know, maybe, you know, there's definitely some work that can be done there as well. You know, and I mean, you know, there are some kids that, you know, maybe we kind of move them along a little bit more in terms of, okay, well, you know, these kids can handle that depth goblet squat iso holds. This kid, you know, maybe we need to start, you know, moving the weight away from his body, or moving, you know, give him one arm instead of, you know, just holding it in the goblet position, you know, kind of challenge his center of gravity a little bit, challenge it in a way that's not grossly different than what we're doing with the other kids, but maybe give him a little bit more challenge. We had a kid a couple of years ago, Oliver Wallstrom, who played on our prep team as a ninth grader. You know, he probably wasn't ready for all of the stuff that we were doing with our 18-year-old kids, but we challenged him with some more of the simple things, and then added the more complex things so that he was, you know, kind of doing the same workout as the 18-year-olds as he moved through the year.
Yeah, that's that art of coaching, juggling act where you're thinking, do I do what's most appropriate for this guy, or do I keep his psyche in good yeah. condition and keep him with the team? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, how many of these guys do you find, well, I guess there would be two parts to this. Number one, how many do you find that have come in and they have training? I mean, training begins younger and younger, especially with players who are obviously guiding themselves down a hockey path as they come to Shattuck St. Mary's. You know, how many guys do you find that come in and they have some training experience and they're sort of over what you're doing? You know, and then is it a tough sell for those guys to sort of dial them back and make sure that the basics are there? Because the basics aren't sexy. They're essential. We know that. But it's harder, probably a harder sell for guys who have had experience in that area.
Well, I think sort of to answer your first question, I would say probably 80% of our guys come in with some sort of training background. You know, what that looks like is all over the map. You know, so it's not like you can expect that all of these kids are going to come in with, you know, very similar training going into it. You know, and like I said, I think one of the things that, you know, one of the unfortunate things that happens is that when these kids are kind of identified as, you know, high level players, as, you know, 10, 11, 12 year olds, you know, they kind of get put on this track of, well, you know, well, we've got to develop them. You know, they've got to be, you know, ready to be, and without sort of mastering those low level simple skills, they just jump right to the next thing. And yeah, they already know how to do cleans, but they can't hold a plank. Or you start adding you know, some changes to the plank. Okay, what I want you to do is, we're going to do a plank with an arm raise, or we're going to do, you know, even like bird dogs as an example, you know, something as simple as that. They struggle with those kind of things. And so I think that, you know, it's not a hard sell. I mean, it's just something that, you know, we talk about with every kid coming in here, that this is kind of our plan. And you know, you need to kind of expect that. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be the, you know, the big fancy what you see on YouTube type things with, you know, all the NHL guys. It's going to be some very simple stuff, but, you know, we'll try to make it as you know, as interesting as possible. You know, and the fact of the matter is, our first semester is really busy as it is anyway. I mean, our Bantams generally have about 30 to 35 games in by the time Christmas comes. So, I mean, it's a really hectic time anyway. So the last thing that I want to do, you know, and we've talked to the Bantam coaches about this, the last thing that we want to do as a program is get these kids, you know, this is the one program that we have where the entire team is new every year. So, I mean, you know, brand new team, you know, getting to know one another. A lot of these kids have never been at boarding school before. So, you know, we've got the whole, you know, psychological aspect of, you know, living away from home, you know, being away from your friends and your family. And so, like I said, the more simple that we can keep it, the less, you know, the less complicated all of it becomes in terms of, you know, just the whole life that they lead here.
Yeah. And that's a part where you have a really unique opportunity as an instructor, as a teacher, as a coach, to really shape their initial, especially in the fall semester of their first year or their Bantam year there. You have a real opportunity. To me, that's a dream job. You know, being a boarding school guy myself, I've always, like, I've loved the idea of going back and coaching at my school, and you know, just having that opportunity to shape their experience there. So that's a really unique situation. Do you have do you have much contact with the parents? Are there parents that want to move them along and you know, or do they sort of trust the process and you know, trust what you guys are doing?
You know, well, you know, every year is a bit different. You know, like I said, with a new group of kids every year, it's not always the same. So, you know, there are, you know, there's, like last year, you know, we had a very an extremely talented team last year. They were mature, they were focused, they were right on task. And you know, with that respect, you know, everything kind of took care of itself. This year, you know, the kids were, you know, maybe not quite at that same level talent-wise. Maturity, there were, you know, that was a problem at some points in the year. You know, and maybe, you know, next year it'll be completely different. So, you know, as far as the parents go, I mean, I don't really have a ton of communication with them on the strength and conditioning side of things. You know, I do with, you know, when it comes to the athletic injuries and stuff like that. So, you know, the parents are pretty good at, you know, kind of trusting the process and seeing what we're doing here. And, you know, obviously the, you know, this is only my second year here, but, you know, the history and the tradition kind of speak for itself, you know. And I mean, you know, you've got, you know, every other, you know, every couple of games on, you know, on NBC Sports Network, somebody's talking about this kid went to Shattuck and that kid, you know, wow, the program does this for you and, you know, and the success here. And so, I mean, people kind of have that in their mind that they, you know, that they're investing in the process anyway. And, you know, this is obviously just one piece of, you know, a whole big piece that we're doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think you're trying to, you're in the fortunate situation where you don't have to prove yourself, you know, in terms of what the school's reputation is and everything. So that's going to be you're going to be talking about at the presentation for the NSCA. Are you going to be going through some of your ABC progressions, or is it basically? So tell us how the presentation will go.
Yeah, then that's exactly what it is. It's just to talk about all of the, you know, the ABC progressions and kind of, you know, how we go from one thing to the next to the next. And, you know, it's going to be kind of a snapshot of what we do in the first semester and sort of our development over the course of that semester. You know, everything from we're just going to go just simple skips and hops and teach them how to run and, you know, circuit training workouts and body weight stuff to, you know, okay, so now we've mastered all of those. All right, how do we make it more complex? How do you change the dynamics of something as simple as, you know, gallops or bounds? How do you make it more challenging? You know, how but not so challenging that the kids are failing and you kind of lose them in the process. You know, so it's kind of a you know, it's a very, you know, kind of a tightrope that you walk in terms of you want to make sure that they achieve these goals. And you want to make it interesting to them, but you don't want to make it so complex that then you start to lose them or they're starting to do things that they're not prepared for, and it starts to go, you know, go south in a hurry. And, you know, at that point in time, you know, how do you, you know, you don't want to rein them in when it becomes too far away. So, yeah. So again, like I said, it's kind of a snapshot of what we do in the first semester, and, you know, kind of shows how we progress from, you know, simple basic things to, you know, to kind of make them a little more challenging, but staying within the framework that we're looking to try and accomplish.
Nice. Yeah. And like I said in the beginning, I think this is really one of the most useful topics that can be covered. And I think they try to touch on it just about every year out there, but the numbers of NCAA coaches or professional strength and conditioning coaches are obviously smaller than that at the youth level. So, you know, this is really going to address a broad audience, and even in the private setting, you have more people that work with younger athletes, the 14 yep. U age or the 14 U group. So, really useful information. And I know I won't be out there this year, but I look forward to hearing more about it. And I think it's really great that you're tackling this topic. So, real quick. I'd like to know a little bit. We've heard from some others, guests in the past, that have had that dual strength and conditioning and sports medicine role. Mm-hmm. How do you find that mixes together, and does it work well for you there at Shattuck?
Well, it's worked well for me. I mean, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, and it works well for me in a couple of different ways. One, you know, I think that, you know, on the personal level, I mean, it's a huge opportunity for you to get to know the kids in a different capacity. And I think that has a lot of advantage when you're talking about, you know, a kid who might be a little dinged up, who may, you know, otherwise be a little bit nervous about going in and see the athletic trainer because, you know, I've been dealing with this shoulder thing for a little while And, you know, but it's really not too bad. I mean, I'll be in the weight room and a kid will come up to me and say, you know, my shoulder's been bugging me for a couple of days. You know, what do you think? Can we work together on that? So in that respect, it allows you to have a better relationship with some of these kids that might otherwise be just kind of walking past it, thinking to themselves, oh, I'll just grab a bag of ice and a couple Advil and I'll be good. The other piece of it too that, you know, that I use as an advantage for me is, you know, the kind of the crossover exercises and the crossover ideas behind, you know, rehabilitation and, you know, kind of prehabilitation stuff. You know, so you look at it and go, okay, well, this is the kind of thing that we would be doing off of the, you know, off of the ice if you had suffered this injury. You know, how can we do this to, you know, to avoid this? I've always kind of joked with my athletes that, you know, the more I can do for you in the weight room, the less I have to do for you in the training room. So, you know, looking at it that way, you know, we kind of meld the two together and say, all right, so, yeah, I mean, we are going to do some prehabilitation exercise. We're going to do our, you know, yeah, you're going to look kind of silly doing our Kibler exercises for shoulder strength. But guess what? You know, if that keeps you from, you know, separating a shoulder, or dislocating a shoulder, or, you know, doing something like that, well, that's what we're going to do for you. You know, we're going to do, you know, our ankle rehab exercises, you know, as a function of what you're doing in your training, because it's good for you, because it's going to help keep you healthy. And you know, and that's the number one goal, you know, obviously, of any strength and conditioning program, is to keep your kids healthy. You know, don't put them in a position where they're going to get hurt. You know, as much as you can do to help keep them on the ice, you know, you're only helping them. And, you know, with the investment that these parents are making for a place like Shattuck, you know, they don't want their kid sitting in the training room. The kid doesn't want the kid, you know, to be sitting in the training room. So as much as you can do to kind of make them, you know, put them in a position where it's less likely to happen, an injury or, you know, something, you know, just something really simple that, you know, it's, you know, I think it's all very advantageous for what you're trying to do in keeping these kids on the ice.
Yeah, nice. Okay, well, we've seen sort of before that you know, good training is the best sort of injury prevention or injury reduction, so you're definitely skilled at both ends of that. So well, Joe, thanks so much for taking time today to join us from beautiful Faribault, Minnesota. Yeah. Actually, you might still have snow up there, I'm not sure.
No, it's worked.
All right, so that's how I always pictured it anyway. So anyway, thanks a lot, and looking forward to your presentation out in Colorado Springs. All right. Thanks a lot, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 55 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks so much to our guest, Joe Sawicki, for joining us. I know I'm excited to get a look at some of those progressions that he's using and how he's developing some of the top hockey players in the country at a influential young age. Remember to check us out on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll stay in touch that way, guys. Until next time, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com, the world's best resource for training hockey players. Talk to you next time.